I'm going to read from Psalm 24. Psalm 24, a psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up, you heads, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I believe this psalm is speaking about the time after the great tribulation and just before the thousand-year reign. God's judgments have ceased, and King Jesus is marching up to Jerusalem to rule as King of kings and Lord of lords. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. This tells us that Jesus has the full right to come and reign and rule. It's because he created the entire universe. He was part of the three-part team of creation: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 26 says, "For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness." Psalm 89, verse 11 says, "The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all its fullness, you have founded them." Not only that, Jesus has the right to rule and reign because he is the only king who ever loved his subjects so much that he was willing to lay down his life for them and die for them to pay the ransom of sin and purchase them back from Satan, who had taken them captive. No other king would ever do that. No one else could even think of such a plan. Only Jesus qualifies to be King of kings and Lord of lords. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." In verses 3 to 6, it describes the kind of people who will enter that kingdom, enjoy the thousand years of Jesus' reign in peace and prosperity. Let's read those verses 3 to 6 again. "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up a soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face." At first reading, verses 3 and 4 may sound like the people are righteous on their own merit, having clean hands and pure hearts. But nothing could be further from the truth. We are all dirty and vile sinners and have no right to stand in the presence of the holy and righteous God. We are given that right by Jesus and him alone, because he paid the price for all our sins by shedding his own precious blood on the cross at Calvary. He suffered, bled, died, and rose again to save us and rescue us from Satan and set us free. All we have to do is ask and receive this great gift and allow him to rule our lives. Then, and only then, do we have the right to stand in his kingdom. All who are saved now in the church age, in this time of grace, and all those who will be saved during the tribulation will qualify, both Jews and Gentiles. Verse 6 says, "This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face." That means the Jewish people. You see, the book of Revelation teaches us that the two witnesses will reach Israel with the gospel during the tribulation, and then 144,000 Jewish evangelists will reach millions with the gospel during that time. The trouble is that every person who is saved then will be martyred for their faith. Everyone. It would be better for sinners to come to Jesus now. After all, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says, now is the day of salvation. Romans 10, verse 13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's read verse 7 and 8. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. It seems as though when Jesus' procession comes to the gates of Jerusalem, that a voice demands that the gates be opened and Jesus and his procession be allowed in. But a voice from inside asks, who is this King of glory? And the answer is given, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And then this exchange of demand, question and answer is repeated again in verses 9 and 10. In the Bible, when a statement is repeated, it means it's confirmed. It's God's word. It's truth. There's no arguing or disputing. It's done. The second time the answer is given, it says he, who is Jesus, is the Lord of hosts, which means he is the Lord of the armies of heaven. He is there to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and he brings his army with him and all of his saints. Then Jerusalem will finally live up to its name. Jerusalem means peace. Then it will truly be the city of peace when the King of peace is ruling and reigning there. F.B. Myers, 1847 to 1929, who was a Baptist pastor and evangelist in England, he said this about this psalm, and I quote, this psalm is accomplished in us when Jesus enters our hearts as our King to reign, and it will have its full realization when the earth and its population welcome him as its Lord. Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21, the last two verses in the Bible. It says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.